Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is June 14th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. Welcome into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. Hope you guys are having a great day, a great week, enjoying June, the Celtics in the NBA Finals, all that fun stuff. But there are real big Bruins topics to cover. And in this episode, we covered both of these things. And it really comes down to two big questions that Connor and I tackled. Who should be the next head coach? That's a pretty big question, don't you think? Who the next head coach should be? Fairly big. And then from that, what should they do this offseason? What is the direction? We talked a lot about this last week. They don't have a direction. Well, what should the direction should be? What should the direction be? So Connor and I discussed that a lot in this episode. And remember, Bruins Beat is always sponsored by our good friends over at Bet Online. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Dude, just doing okay. Just doing okay. Now we're just doing okay. It's the off season. People are in limbo a bit. I was thinking today, hopefully we're recording this later in the afternoon. I'm really hoping, fingers crossed, that this episode stays the way it is. There is no news dump at 8 p.m. tonight during the Celtics finals game, because we record, as you guys know, on Monday. So hopefully can the news dumps, whether it be Bergeron's future, Sweeney's extension or no extension, new coach, can that all come just like later, not when we're doing a show? That would be
awesome. They have quite inconsiderate when you really think about it, Evan. Like, we can't have a whole library of lost episodes at this point.
I know.
I'll say it once again. The episode we recorded before everything bottomed out was a great episode. I thought it was a great little conversation we had, and no one will ever hear it now.
No. Some people on Twitter said we should release it. And I said, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, because I guarantee you we hit on all those things. We're going to hit on some in this episode. So I don't know. Like, again, that episode, the chemistry of it, the incredibleness. Just
also
gone.
You know what would happen too? We'd like release it and we put it on YouTube and then be like eight comments, be like, freaking idiots, like, you don't know Bruce Cassidy got fired? Like, that's what it would actually be. You would be us getting like roasted.
Yes.
Like, no, yes. Where? We have to put in all caps, like the lost episode.
Yes.
Or something like that. So
I think it was Petrov Maguire who tweeted that you know the video of the people sitting at the table and they start playing the siren and they all get up.
Oh, yes.
You've tweeted before. And they were like, this is the Bruins as this Connor McDavid news happens, trying to get out all their news dumps to just kind of use that as a mask. So hopefully they don't. Hopefully they don't. By the way, tough morning for Connor McDavid to wake up, you know, hungover as hell, seeing that video circulating on Twitter. That should be quite the morning for him.
Not great, Evan.
Not great at all. Anyways, big things to talk about. And we figured last week was spent on Poke the Bear and Bruins be talking about Cassidy and why that happened and why it didn't make a lot of sense. But life moves on. You got to move to the next thing. And the next thing is, who takes over as head coach? That is the question on everybody's mind. And it was Sean Hutchian of the Fourth Period who reported that the three favorites as of now as of now, subject to change, but as of now, are Jay Leach, David Quinn, and Barry Trotz, which I don't think should surprise a ton of people. Trotz is a little surprising, considering he's been in talks for basically every job, it seems like, and seems to be the hot candidate. But I think the big takeaway from those three, right, if we're going off those three, is they all signal different directions in a sense. Because Barry Trotz is not taking over a rebuilding team, I don't think. And if they really want to go for a Stanley Cup, I don't know if Quinn or Leach are your guys. What do you take away from this?
Yeah, I think you kind of said it in terms of the fact that, much like as I think we've already kind of discussed and predicted, Bruins don't really have a set plan. So it's like, all right, I feel like they're evaluating all their options, right? In terms of like, all right, if Bergeron's back, if Krejci's back, if we're going to try to run it back, then yeah, I guess Barry Trotz is the best coach available other than Bruce Cassidy in terms of maximizing a win now team. So I could see that being the case, even though I think, as we both said quite a few times already, it's probably not the best path moving forward for this team. You look at Jay Leach, makes a lot of sense. Former, you know, he has his fingerprints all over this organization, was down in Providence, was probably like viewed as the next guy in waiting if anything was to happen to Cassidy. And then he goes off to Seattle and kind of upends that kind of narrative. But again, 1 year now up in the NHL, kind of cutting his teeth up there. You could make the connection between him. And if you're trying to relate to younger players, well, he ushered along guys like Stanika and Frederick and Zboril and all those players. So it makes sense.
He's also only 42.
Yes, exactly.
If they brought back Zdeno Chara, Chara would actually be older than the head coach.
So like that fits in line with like what they'd be looking for, whether it's connecting younger players or I guess a new voice. I feel like if you like, they always talk about new voice. So that's all Don Sweeney talked about. That's what Cam Neely mentioned. I feel like what labels a new voice is someone who's outside of the organization, but I also just feel like they're not going to do that. Like as much as, you know, I'm sure as we go through this podcast, we'll talk about other guys as well, but it feels like it's still going to be someone who at some point in time has some connection to this team, whether it's, you know, a guy like Leach who makes a lot of sense. You've got, again, Sacco and Kelly who are still under contract. I don't think they elevate those guys to head coach, but, and then you also have a guy like David Quinn, who maybe doesn't have direct ties, but also is from Cranston, Rhode Island, is, you know, good friends with Sweeney, has the connections in terms of being Grizzlick and McAvoy's coach at BU. He's helped out with, or has been the head coach of the national team for USA. So he's coached Swayman. Makes sense. Like I could see them going for a guy like that, even though you look at his kind of track record of the Rangers, not stellar, you know, it's not exactly. And again, Quinn's one of those ones where it's, you don't really know what exactly is the plan. Like, is you hiring Quinn because you think it's a fresh voice and it helps out this team if they're trying to retool or run it back? Or is it a guy that you view as being someone who maybe has more patience with younger players, which, you know, that's kind of the label you get from Quinn is, you know, he was part of that rebuilding Rangers team. And again, didn't last, you know, lasted 3 years on the job, but was part of that group that kind of encourages younger players. But also he couldn't really decide between Georgiev and Shesterkin for a while, which you look at it now, like it's like that guy on TikTok, the that's kind of what it is. So,
yeah, he's so like, young, Connor. Related, I know, to the kids.
I'm trying to be hip, Evan. But it makes sense why Quinn would be mentioned when you look at those ties. But also, again, it's just kind of a—he's a new voice. He's not, yeah, like, it's a different guy. So it's not going to be just like Bruce Cassidy. But between those three guys, there's not any one set indication one way or the other in terms of what the best path is moving forward. If you ask me, like I would say, you don't have to bring in a guy like Trotz or a guy that has been around the block like a Tortorella or anything like that, because I feel like it has to be someone younger, someone who gives it a little bit of a different messaging. But who knows? We could also be talking about this, and then as soon as we finish the podcast, Bergeron and Krejci are back, and they're going to try to run it right back, which who knows what's going to happen. So those three picks right there don't surprise me. But again, they can all branch in very different directions in terms of where this team is going.
Yeah, if Bruce Cassidy was ousted partially because he wasn't great with younger players, allegedly, I don't think John Tortorella is the guy who would replace him. I don't think that would be how that one would go. Trotz is interesting solely because, again, if as you said, if they bring back Bergeron and Krejci comes back too, and they're like, we're running it back, again, the injuries get in the way. But then in that case, I guess Trotz would make some sense. Offensively, I don't know if he moves the needle. It's kind of the same thing you had. He's always been a good defensive coach and, you know, maybe run the neutral zone trap a little more or something like that. But I just don't, I don't know if he's a huge upgrade over Cassidy. I think in this case, you do want to go, if you want to make a big change, you would go maybe younger in a sense. And that's why I think Jay Leach is the guy they end up picking. I think that is who I think they end up going for. I do think there is value at being around the former coach, kind of like Cassidy was with Julian for a little bit, where he was in the dressing room for, was Cassidy, he became an assistant coach that 16-17 season, right?
Yeah, after quite a few years down in Providence. So
they moved him up, and he got to see Claude for, you know, 6 months-ish, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So again, I think there's value to that. You get to see what works and what doesn't. Leach was still never an assistant up here. So again, I know he's in Providence forever in the system, but he never really got to see Cassidy as a head coach in the NHL. Obviously, they worked together a ton. I mean, they, like, the communication was there. I'm not saying that, like, Leach just didn't know what was happening up there. I'm just saying you don't get to be in the room with them during games and things like that. You get to see those things. Mm-hmm. But I still think they go with Leach. I still think that is their ultimate pick. If I was a betting man, so to speak, that would be who I would pick, because I think that makes a ton of sense in terms of age, experience. It would surprise me if they went outside of those three, but there's always a chance they do. Who do you look at as people outside of those three that you could see?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of view it in terms of just like kind of, you know, lowering the pool or getting a set amount of candidates. I'm looking for someone who's one younger, who is able, gives you kind of that new voice, who doesn't have, that can maybe encourage more of a play style, not like Trotz, where, again, it's funny because like all we talked about during, you know, Sweeney and Neely's pressers was like not getting inside enough, not, you know, generating offense, and something even Cassidy talked about in terms of not generating enough consistent 5-on-5, you know, offensive generation. I don't know if Trotz moves the needle. Like, the results speak for themselves with how Trotz plays. But if you think that Bruce Cassidy's system wasn't getting enough scoring out of this roster, in for rude awakening with Barry Trotz, right? So
yes,
I'm looking at guys who are younger, who can maybe, you know, work with the younger players, and not just this current crop of players we have here now, like the Sidnika and Frederick, which I think we've talked about before. Who knows if they're even long-term pieces, but you also have to imagine at some point you're going to have an influx of other players coming in, whether it's Lysell and Lori, whether it's other guys they're drafting the next couple of years. Need someone younger that can kind of connect with these players a bit more. So a few guys that I've been very intrigued by. The one guy who I don't think they're going to hire but would love is Jeff Halpern, who is the assistant coach with the Lightning. In terms of a new voice, in terms of what he brings, his track record. I mean, one, you could make the argument that John Cooper is the best coach in the NHL now. I mean, he's very well could be on his way to a three-peat. Pretty tough to do in any sport, especially in hockey. You feel like it's only a matter of time. As much as like NFL coaches, they always talk about the coaching tree. No team has really kicked the tires yet on Tampa Bay and kind of what that personnel, that grouping is over there. So I feel like you would target one of Cooper's assistants like Halpern. Be a great call. I mean, he helps run their power play, which speaks for itself. You look at, you know, he's still, I think, 45 years old. And before he was an assistant coach, and I think he's been in that role since 2018, pretty fruitful era for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, a little bit of success.
Yeah. Before that, Halpern was in charge of their development staff in Tampa Bay, which, unlike the Bruins, been pretty good over the years. Again, some of it lies in the drafting, but, you know, he played a hand in helping out guys like Kucherov and Point and Sorelli, and we can go on and on and on. Even guys right now like Colton and all these other, like, they've got quite the track record, and Halpern's played a pretty direct role in that. So that's one where you look at it, and again, outside voice, former NHL veteran, I think played close to 1,000 games in the NHL, Halpern.
He was in that 2011 Bruins Canadian series.
Yes, he was. I think that was maybe his last year. One of his last years. So I think that one makes a whole bunch of sense in terms of outside voice, still young, accomplished in a winning organization. It's like the same as why I think people target
checks all of the boxes.
Yeah, so a guy like Halpern, a guy like Spencer Cadbury, who is 40 years old, coming off his first year up in Toronto on Keefe's staff, helped run their power play, which was number one in the league. And as much as people talk about the personnel in that power play for Toronto. I think they went from number 16 overall in terms of power play percentage to number one under Kadri.
Which is wild. They were ever 16 with that grouping.
Who knows what they were doing there before. But again, evidence is there. Has a great track record. Actually has some ties to the Bruins. I think Kadri was an assistant under Leach 1 year in like 2017, I want to say, in Providence. So has that. Then went to Hershey in the AHL and I think was coach of the year. So again, success everywhere he's gone. So another guy that would make a whole bunch of sense in terms of a younger guy that also encourages a lot of offensive generation, a lot of creativity. Look at Halpern or Carberry and what they can bring. If you're trying to untap more offense, more creativity, those guys make a lot of sense. And then the last guy I mentioned, unless you want to actually, do you want to give a guy, Evan, if anyone else that
says you know, it's funny. You mentioned the Halpern one to me and I kind of stuck on to that because you had said that the other day. And I said, that makes so much, because again, it's the Lightning and you're right. No one's gone into that, which is odd. Cause you said in the NFL, look at Sean McVay, every coach, you could be Sean McVay's shoe shiner and you're, you know, the defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos or something. So I personally do not have another guy outside of those three who I look at and say, okay, for sure. Cause again, and I will mention our good friends BetOnline in a minute. I was looking at some of those other names on there, like Alain Vigneault, John Tortorella, Guy Boucher. None of them really excited me. None of them really. And again, I think you know what? I'll use this time to dispense of the popular college coaches that are, you know, noted. Nate Lehman's one in Providence. He always gets mentioned for jobs. I remember Buffalo last year. He was someone that they had in the mix. He just signed a multi-year extension with Providence. I don't see him leaving. I don't. And I think a lot of people, you know, there's a fair amount of NHL fans who are also college hockey fans, which is great. But I think sometimes they miss out on the fact, you know, they think the NHL is automatically a way better job to have. It's not. It's not. It depends on what you're looking for. So I'll use Greg Carville as a good example, right? He was looped in with this. He was looped in with Buffalo last year. And he's always, his name gets thrown around because obviously he's a terrific coach. He's had a lot of success. And he's a guy that I think would work in the NHL. The reality is he was an assistant in the NHL for a fair amount of time with the Ducks and the Senators. I do not see him going back to the NHL. He left the NHL for a reason, went back to St. Lawrence, coached for a while there, then went to UMass. He has quite a long contract there and it's a pretty stable job. And in the world of hockey coaching, as you all know, it's very hard to find a stable job at a good place, at a good program. I'm not just saying that because it's UMass. I'm saying because it's true. Yes. He can work there for life if he'd like to. He's got family and all that stuff. It's the same with Lehman at Providence, right? Like it's the same kind of thing. So those guys, I don't see going anywhere. Yeah. I don't, to NHL jobs. And again, the Bruins would make sense for both those guys because it's a local thing. They're not moving their families across the country. They're moving them like, you know, an hour. But that's why I will use this time to say, you know what? Yeah. So to me, those guys just don't make a lot of sense given that they're good in their jobs. Why would you go to the NHL, make, you know, a little bit more money, but be out of a job within like 4 or 5 years? Makes no sense.
I mean, literally look at Bruce Cassidy in terms of like guy has a 650 points percentage and then it gets let go. So yeah, yes. As you said, I don't view college guy. Also just one quick guy I also will throw out there, I guess, is a dark horse, or at least someone who I think the Bruins should contact if it's an assistant job or something like that, is Max Avad. I don't think he'd be head coach.
Damn it, you got me on that. That's a good one.
That's one. Makes a lot of sense. Good PR in terms of former Bruin, great career. It's great to see him, I think, really be a rising star in the coaching ranks after the way his career ended. But a guy that maybe you need a bit more seasoning to be a, you know, hand him the keys to a franchise. But look at kind of the short time he's been a coach, whether it be with the St. Louis Blues in 2019 to where he is now in Windsor in the OHL and kind of the great franchise he's running there now. Great track record in the short sample size. And a lot of it is also tied to power play. He helped lead the Blues, I think, the third best power play during his 1 year. And again, as you saw, I think in 2019 in the Cup final, St. Louis wasn't a offensive dynamo. They weren't a team that was like generating a lot of chances on their power play. So he's a guy that turned the ship for them a little bit. Also, I think was praised quite a bit during his short time in St. Louis for working with younger players, younger forwards, which you look at guys like Rob Thomas, Kyrou, again,
yes,
great players, like, but again, has a track record of working with those guys. So he could be a guy that, even if it's not a head coaching job, I would love to see the Bruins reach out to him and have him in the system. If you get a guy like Halpern and a guy like Savard working together as part of a coaching staff, you've got a foundation to build off of. And it's a bit of a different voice, a different look. It's not the same old tired narratives. You're not bringing back like old Rick Bowness or any like guy who's been there before. Like if you're committing to
Rick Tocchet.
Yeah. If you're committed to a new era and a new chapter for this franchise, might as well start fresh with having some new, you know, creative voices that are kind of leading, you know, the X's and O's and working with these younger players. So that's what I'd like to see them do.
Safe bet. That if you put those two together, they would be dynamite, so to speak. We're talking about really safe bets, safer than that. Our good friends over at Bet Online, our partners at Bet Online, continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, which is now set, Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website to use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get the 50% welcome Rick bonus, in a sense. If Rick bonus gets hired, that's going to be, we can incorporate that right in.
There you go. We're all set.
Get into the action. 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, where the game starts. And remember, they have all the coaching bets too. You can place bets on that, which is very fun. And for you Bruins fans out there, I imagine if you listen to this, you probably are a Bruins fan. You might want to go bet on that because you might think, hey, I think I know what they're going to do here. And the odds make some money. So yeah, go do that. CLNS 50. Okay. So we talk about the common thread last week, aside from why was Bruce Cassidy fired. The other common thread was where the hell is this team going? What is the direction? So thought now would be a good time to give that what we think should be the direction, maybe not will, but should. Because again, as I said earlier, the three coaches that have been kind of rumored to be the top of the tier for the Bruins that they're going for, none signify, it's not like, you know, it's all young guys or all old guys. If it was Bonus, Trotz, and Tortorella, we would know what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
If it was Leach, Quinn, and Mark Savard, we would know what they're trying to do, but we really don't. I think what they should do, and I don't think they'll do this, but what they should do is you stink this year. You do. And again, it sucks to watch. Like it would be a very tough winter. Wins would mean more during the year because people would be like, oh man, that was kind of exciting. They beat the Senators, you know, 5-3. Woo! Like it's going to be that kind of year. But I think you got to retool and rebuild this year for a lot of reasons. You got a lot of injuries. You got injuries start the year of good players. You have an excuse to kind of not be very good. But Bergeron's future is up in the air. You never know what's going to happen with that. Now, I don't know why he would want to come back to a retooling, rebuilding team, but things happen. And that 2023 NHL draft, Connor, looking pretty good. I've heard
pretty good.
I've heard it compared to the 2015 draft, which again, that's a tough thing to mention around here. It's also tough to mention that, was it Sunday? It was the 3-year anniversary of, game 7. So
tough. I don't think that happened. What are you talking about?
Definitely didn't happen. Tough things to mention around here, but it's true. The 2023 NHL draft is very similar to the 15 draft in the sense that if you get a top 15 pick, you're getting an impact player. You should be at least. But again, we saw how that worked out in 2015. But still, things look good with that. And you have a chance to get a lottery pick in a draft like that. And there's other ways you can get picks too in that draft or just later in the draft, not just the first round. What do you think they should do?
Yeah, I agree that I think it has to be. Again, people talk a lot about how futile it might be to like try to outright tank. Just because of the core you have in place, that are you going to get a top 5 pick? Probably not, but you can do your damnedest to try to restart this rebuild on the fly, right? If whether that's, and that's not to say you're trading Pasta for the sake of trading him or anything like that, which I think as we've talked about it before, I think David Pastrnak is very interested in staying here. I think the Bruins would love to have him back. So I have to imagine they talk contract this summer. But you look at whether that is moving a guy like DeBrusk, moving guys like Hall, moving maybe a guy like Kahlo. You look at the guys on expiring deals that probably could have been moved anyway this offseason, depending on how much they want to change things around, like a guy, Craig Smith or Halla, after kind of the year he had. Again, it's not something that's maybe going to bring you to that tier of Arizona or Montreal or something like that. But if you really dismantle a lot of that supporting cast, you then, you know, give guys like Marchand more time to rest. At the very least, it gets you in the mix of being potential bottom 10 team. And if you're in the lottery, who knows what happens? You could stink and you end up with like the 14th overall pick, which again, you still at least add a prospect, not to mention you also are including whatever draft capital you get from moving a guy like Hall or Kahlo or DeBrusque or anything like that. I don't know how many first rounders you get. You could probably get a first for Hall, probably a second, 2 seconds for DeBrusque, what have you. At the very least, you replenish some of your draft capital. But who knows? Maybe you get a top 10 worst record and you fall into a top 5 pick and you get a guy like Mishkov or Fantilli or anything like that. So I think that's the best route moving forward in terms of taking one bad year where it doesn't seem like anything's working in your favor anyway. Like, you look at all these injuries, you look at the transition with coaching, all that stuff. There's a year for the stars to align if you to have a rough go of it. Maybe lean into it a little bit and get a legit prospect out of it. And again, it's all going to hinge on how much they want to commit to that, though, because it can't be, oh, you know, we'll go into the year, see how we do. And if we're, you know, 11-16 at the end of November, then we'll blow it up. It's like, no, you have to start dismantling and moving guys this summer if you want to really commit to that. So again, that's something that some Bruins fans probably aren't happy about. I'm sure there's a lot of skepticism about just how effective that kind of strategy can be with this core in place or with the way this roster is built, because again,
the front office in place.
Yeah, and the front office in place. So, but if you want to look at the easiest way to kind of get back in contention, if you can add, you know, draft picks that can make an impact in a year or two years, again, see if that happens with this front office in place. But if you add like some impact prospects with Pastrnak, with McAvoy coming off injury and being healthy, with Martian, who even at 35, if he's healthy, could still be a top six player that can help you out. Swayman, Lindholm. At this point, you're looking at guys like Lysell and Lauri in 2023-24 making an impact, or at least breaking into the league and establishing themselves. Who knows what Brett Harrison or Ryan Mass or Oscar Jelvik or any of these other guys could do to bring to this team. So if you build around that group, plus you hit on, if you fall into a top five pick or a top 10 pick and ends up being an impact player, you at least have a future. You at least can look ahead and be like, all right, we're building something here. And if you run it back and you try to get into the playoffs and you lose in the first, second round again with an aging core, or you try to tread water and you end up missing the playoffs the last week of the regular season, where's the future there? Again, you've got a younger core you can build around, but you don't really have that, you know, the North Star to follow in terms of a legit prospect that you can look to the future and be happy about building around them going forward.
The writing's on the wall for this to happen, by the way. Like, again, if they really tried to win next year, they are going to be a sneaking in wild card team out in the first round type group. Like, it's just, what is the point? And I know it stinks to watch and you have solid players, but it's a center heavy draft and you need centers. And I keep looking at Taylor Hall. If you were to go the rebuild retool route, he's on a 4-year deal. He gets you a first. Like, why? And again, like you've mentioned, New Jersey would be an interesting spot to go back to New Jersey, but they think they can contend. And even a team like Seattle, like, they maybe want a good player here or there potentially. And again, those are teams that hopefully next year for the Bruins' sake or in the maybe top 10 lottery, they think that they can be good with a guy like Taylor Hall. If you can get a first from them for that, you do it. And suddenly you got two potential top 10 picks if you were to go that route. Now, this is just all to say that probably they aren't going to go this route. But if you could somehow come away at the end of the 2023 draft with two top 10 picks or even two top like 12 picks, and more picks down the road, maybe you trade DeBrusque, Mike Riley, maybe Craig Smith, and suddenly, you know, you've got extra third, extra second, whatnot. You're coming out with like a future. You have centers, you have center depth. And suddenly there's a North Star with this team. The light at the end of the tunnel is a light. It's not a train coming to hit you. So again, I think that is the route that they should be taking. I think they end up not doing that. I think they end up trying to run it back. That's what they're going to end up trying to do. And I think it's a big mistake because I do think that, you know, again, you have options here to rebuild, retool, and it's not going to be long. As you said, they've got McAvoy, they've got Swayman, they've got Lindholm, you got Pastrnak, you got Marchand. Like, you have a core there. You're not blowing them up. You're taking a guy like Taylor Hall and moving him. I don't see the huge issue in that. I know he's great. I know he's a consistent scorer, all that stuff, former MVP, but capitalize on his value. Because if he's here for the next 3 years, are they realistically, with the way they're heading, going to be contending for a cup in the next 3 years? No, they aren't. And I know he wants to be in Boston and he's a good fit and all these things, but if you're going to go the rebuild, retool route, I don't know, man. Makes some sense. Makes some sense. Speaking of things that make sense, subscribing to Boston Sports Journal, what can people look forward to from you over there?
Yes, Evan, we'll have our expected daily coverage throughout this offseason, breaking down, you know, coaching candidates, free agent moves, trades, which I imagine there will be quite a few of this summer.
Maybe.
Again, the draft isn't that far away either, which, again, they don't have a first round pick, but we'll see if that changes. So there'll be plenty of stuff throughout this summer, breaking down next steps, next moves for this Bruins team. So you can find all that stuff over at bostonsportsjournal.com. So please subscribe over at BSJ. Want to follow me on Twitter? You can do that at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. For CLNS Media, I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruins Beat listeners, have a great rest of your day.